Sexual Fantasies. This is the podcast for you if you are curious to learn more. Perhaps you don't think you have any sexual fantasies and want to know what all the fuss is about. Perhaps you do have a fantasy and want to figure out how you can get your partner on board with them. Or perhaps you're worried about a fantasy and what it might mean for you. If any of these questions resonate with you, then keep listening, because in this interview, I'm going to ask Rena Martin everything you wanted to know about sexual fantasies. Rena is a women's intimacy expert. She helps women to love their bodies, experience deep intimacy, and have great shame-free sex. And I know you're going to love this episode. Welcome back to In Bed with Lisa. Today, I am delighted to invite my pink-haired friend, Rena Martin, to the show. Hi, Rena.
Hello, hello.
I am so delighted to have you here today. I cannot wait just to chat with you. I mean, I think we could actually talk all day long. But the reason I've invited you on today is in your capacity as a women's intimacy coach, and I want to pick your brain on all things fantasy. But before we do that, please introduce yourself to anybody who doesn't know you, Rena.
Okay. Well, yes, my name is Rena Martin. I am a women's intimacy coach, but I haven't always done what I do today. I was actually a deputy district attorney, which is a prosecutor, with the Los Angeles County DA's office for 14 years. And I spent the majority of my career prosecuting sex crimes, child abuse, and domestic violence cases. So I transitioned into doing what I do now. So I coach women one-on-one in my signature Shameless coaching program. I also educate on a ton of platforms and doing some speaking and doing some writing too. So that's what's going on in my world and my background.
Doing a whole lot of things and spreading the word. And I can just imagine that with that background in sex crimes, that that must be where the passion came to actually help women in this area.
Yeah. And, you know, I say to a lot of women today, when there is that hesitation or that fear about sharing, I say to them what I would say to children and survivors when I was a prosecutor, that there's nothing you can tell me I haven't heard before. And that's been really helpful too. And because I am trauma informed, that is helpful for clients of mine who are survivors of sexual trauma. Not all of them are, but yeah, there have been some transferable skills there.
Absolutely. I just love your vibe whenever I see your content on Instagram or anywhere. You're infectious. You do create that safe space and you just like make all of these subjects just feel so accessible and kind of fun and quirky. I just can't get enough of watching your stuff. So you're definitely doing the right thing.
Right back at you. Everything you just said, let's just shoot that right back at you. I adore you, Lisa.
Oh, love fest in here. So what I want to talk to you about today is something that you've mentioned recently that just really gets the cogs in my mind turning. And it's all about fantasy. What I want to ask you is fantasy really that important? I speak to a lot of women who don't even think they have fantasies. And they're like, yeah, I don't know what my fantasy is. So is it important? What if we don't have them? Where can we start?
Sure. So it's actually really rare that people don't have fantasies. There is a term called aphantasia, but that's, I don't know, I think we're talking 1-2% of the population. And I think the difficulty comes in because for some folks, you think, I don't have any fantasies, because you're imagining that a fantasy is some elaborate role play scenario, right? And a fantasy is just really anything that you think of while you're awake that turns you on. And that fantasy can be, you know, I wish my partner would come up behind me and kiss me on the neck sometime. Like, that's a fantasy. That is a fantasy. So what's great about fantasies is that they tend to create this window into what our emotional needs are. So kind of like dreams, we don't necessarily want to interpret all of them literally. Mm-hmm. And so for folks who do have fantasies where they are a bit scary or, oh my gosh, why am I thinking about this? If we peel back the layers a little bit, all fantasies are pretty much normal. Mm-hmm. And we can talk a little bit more about what certain fantasies mean and what emotional needs they fulfill. But fantasies are important. because one, they give you a glimpse at what your emotional needs are, but two, those who speak about their fantasies with their partners and take that extra step to actually enacting them with their partners show the highest rates of relationship satisfaction and the fewest difficulties in sexual functioning right off the bat. But only half of people will ever tell their partner what their greatest fantasy is.
Yeah.
So we're literally, we're missing out on so much pleasure and so much connection because of that fear and shame.
Yeah, that is fascinating. It's really interesting to me what you said initially about everybody does have fantasies. Pretty much everybody has fantasies. And it's like not only the vision of the plumber coming in and then like taking advantage of you in the bedroom. Like it's all of those fragments and those moments, and those are important too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And most people actually who are in relationships fantasize about their partners more than strangers.
And so those are fantasies. And so actually
they are
empowering us to know that those little things are fantasies. So that is then something that we can communicate to our partner in a safe way, perhaps.
Absolutely. And it might be, you know, I wish we had more foreplay, and you're thinking about what that could look like. I hate the term foreplay, but it's a term that most people understand. But that is a fantasy.
Yeah.
That is a fantasy.
So how can we have those conversations with our partners if there is something that we would like? How do you recommend that people just start those conversations if they're feeling scared about it?
Okay. So there are a few ways you can do this. My favorite and the easiest hack I have is to just shoot a text to your partner that says, hey, you know what could be fun to try?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what could be fun to try? And you don't have to go full blown, say it is a more ornate fantasy, like the plumber and all that. You don't have to go full blown. Okay, so tomorrow night, I would like for you to show up wearing a tool belt and I'm going to be in the bedroom. But it can be, you know, easing into that. It can be finding a porn that resonates with you and maybe agreeing ahead of time, like, hey, you know, what might be fun to try is we each find something that excites us and then we can send it to each other with caveats, you know, like I like this part about it. I don't like this.
Oh yeah.
If that's still right, because it's rare you're going to find something that's exactly on the nose of what you're looking for. But that's a way of doing it. If that still sounds really scary, because it might for some people, there's the BDSM quiz that I recommend to folks, which is BDSMtest.org. Take it, have your partner take it, compare your results, and use that as a starting point for conversation. If you have something specific in mind, one method that you can use would be, all right, you both agree that you're going to write down your biggest fantasy on a piece of paper and put it in an envelope, okay? And before swapping envelopes, you just have an entire conversation about how you're feeling about sharing the thing.
Yes.
And that could be, you know, I'm terrified for you to see this. I'm worried that you're going to see this and you're going to go running for the hills. Whatever you're feeling around it without even talking about what's in the envelope. And give each other an opportunity to reassure and make it a safe place. And then you can say, all right, would you like to see what's in my envelope? So I'm giving you a bunch of different ways, depending on comfort levels and how intricate the fantasies are to approach this. But find what works for you. Be creative about it. This doesn't need to be as scary as it sounds.
And the freedom on the other side, or the pleasure that could be available from actually.
Yeah, because, you know, it's play, it's adult play. And we have so few ways that we get to play as adults. It's a chance to recapture some of that love and enjoyment that we had as children and playing make-believe, right? If you're into role play fantasies, yeah. And that can be so liberating and put you into this flow state. And yeah, all the benefits, not very many risks.
Yes.
So I'm a big fan.
playing. So you mentioned then that there are certain different types of fantasies and that they can suggest different emotional needs. What do you find are some common fantasies that come up with your clients?
Sure. So, I mean, generally speaking, the most common fantasy overall amongst people is threesome fantasies. The overwhelming majority of people have fantasized about having threesomes. What I see a lot with my clients are sexual submission fantasies. Mm-hmm. So, and the research supports this, 93% of women have fantasized about being sexually dominated. And that doesn't mean a complete takeover necessarily, but look at 50 Shades of Grey.
Mm-hmm.
That book sold more books than any other book last decade.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing, right? Because it's not terribly well written either.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terribly accurate. It's not terribly well written. But if you think about this idea that our fantasies are filling an emotional need for us, the emotional need that a lot of us have as women now is the need to not have to make decisions, because we're making more than we've ever had to.
Wow.
Right? We're making decisions as perhaps moms, as partners, as employees, maybe as bosses and CEOs. We are having to make more decisions than we ever have as women in the history of humanhood.
Mm.
And so we are fantasizing about just being and not having to think and surrendering and not having to make those choices.
That's almost quite unsexy, isn't it? We just don't want to make choices. I've got decision fatigue. I'm fantasizing about not having to decide. It sounds so unsexy.
Oh, but it makes sense though, doesn't it? Like, and if we can understand, and here's what's curious about it, because we are getting to a point now where slowly men are becoming more emotionally attuned.
Mm-hmm.
They are seeing that vulnerability is a strength. And consent has definitely become more commonplace, or, you know, affirmative and enthusiastic consent. So I've taught classes for men where men have said, I don't feel right doing that to her because I do respect women. I am a feminist. I don't want to subjugate anyone. But when I explain that the reason she's having this fantasy to begin with is precisely because she is more empowered as a woman, it can help alleviate some of that sense of guilt on the part of a male partner.
Yeah. And to actually go ahead and play out that fantasy without feeling like they are dominating or doing something wrong. So what would you say then to a woman who has this fantasy of being dominated, but is a feminist and feels guilty about it? And to take it another step further, who has a fantasy about maybe, I don't want to use the triggering word here, but being dominated in a non-consensual way.
Yep. Okay. I'm so glad you asked about that. All right. So first and foremost, feminists, or I'll say progressively minded people, mm-hmm. tend to have more sexual submission fantasies than conservative people politically. So our fantasies are different across political spectrums. Why? Because that power differential is seen as more taboo, mm-hmm. and the taboo excites us. So if we're looking at, for example, religious conservative folks, they tend to fantasize more about wife swapping, about non-monogamy, because that is seen as so taboo, because marriage is sacred and it's between one man and one woman and all the things. Whereas for progressive folks, that power differential mm-hmm. is more taboo.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense why you would be a super empowered feminist woman and have these fantasies.
Yeah.
It makes complete sense.
Mm.
So yeah, what if you have, I'm going to throw the term out there because I think people will understand it better, mm-hmm. rape fantasy.
Yeah.
The preferred terms would be consensual non-consent or forced seduction.
Yes. Yes.
One, know that you are not alone. 53% of women have had these fantasies.
Okay.
Okay. And this is the most troubling fantasy that I hear from women, that and age play. And yeah. that we can talk about too. but that is the thing that I've heard so many women come to me and, you know, I have this thing, I've never told anyone this before, but what is wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. It's totally normal. And let's understand what this is. We're not talking about your fantasizing an actual rape. You are not talking about, I'm walking down the street at night and I really hope a stranger jumps out and holds me up at knife point and does this to me. That's not what you're talking about. Mm-mm. You're talking about a scenario where this is pretend.
Yeah.
And you're giving the permission. It's consensual non-consent, which means that you're actually still in the director's chair, mm-hmm. which is different than an actual sexual assault. And we can have them for a variety of reasons. One, it can be just a more extreme version of this, I want to surrender control. Yeah. But it can also be this fantasy, I want to be so irresistible to someone that they are just overtaken with desire for me.
They just can't help themselves.
I will, as a little asterisk, because this fantasy can be particularly troubling for women who have survived sexual assaults.
Absolutely.
And so how do we reconcile that? There's a concept known as restaging in trauma, which is you are reenacting a scenario where you felt powerless, but reenacting it in such a way that you are now in control as a way to rewrite that narrative, for example.
Yeah.
I've also seen this go the other way with sexual assault survivors. I had a client who had been abused as a child for a long time, and she wanted to be in control. Okay. So she ended up doing some pretty fun and elaborate role play with her spouse, where she was the more dominant one, and it changed everything for her. It changed everything in their marriage because for once she felt like, I have control over my body.
Yeah.
So it can be, BDSM can be such a beautiful healing modality if you go about it the right way. And it's one thing I love helping my clients do. So yeah, that's how consensual non-consent and those kind of fantasies play out.
I've also heard, I'm curious to hear your take on this, but I've also heard a theory that, like a dream, and you mentioned dreams earlier, but if you have a fantasy in your mind, not something you're acting out, but that you're thinking about and visualizing quite elaborately, that you are kind of all of the players as well. You are kind of controlling them all in, like, you know, like in a dream, you have a dream with multiple people and you kind of are all of them in a way. So yeah. What do you think of that with when it comes to fantasies?
So it's interesting. It's what part is everyone playing? Mm. So for example, when we have threesome or group sex fantasies, we typically, and this is based on what the research supports,
yeah,
that we typically don't have people's faces in mind necessarily. Mm-hmm. That we fantasize about being being the center of attention.
Yes.
Being the object of desire. And so in a way, it's not that we are everyone, it's that no one else really matters as much as what's happening and what's being done. Yeah. So we fantasize less about where it's happening and who the players are and more about what is happening.
Yeah. With us as the center of attention. Exactly. Thank you for adding your thoughts on that. So let's talk about age play. You mentioned that was another common fantasy that comes up.
Yeah. And that can be troubling for some people. So there is a dynamic, DDLG, daddy dom, little girl. And this doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, we're talking about infants here. It could be anything from, this is my first time, my first sexual experience, to I'm a teenager and, you know, I got caught doing something bad and now I'm going to be told. And it's really us fantasizing about a time where we were more sexually naive and kind of wishing that we had a trusted person to teach us about our bodies, for many of us, we never have.
Yeah. You're reclaiming that innocence again. Like you're wanting to to have that kind of feeling of like, I'm not naughty, I'm just curious.
Yeah. And it can also be that we're actually craving a level of nurturing because there is a tenderness and a care that goes into that kind of dynamic that you can have in non-age play dom sub dynamics, you know, not just the aftercare, but that kind of tenderness. And it could be that that's what we're looking for, because people do have romance and passion fantasies. That is a category of fantasies that people have, which has nothing to do with sex, but can be all about that tenderness and that just intimate, non-sexual physical connection.
Yeah. It's kind of beautiful. Yeah. I can see I'm resonating with the whole romance. Oh, being romance.
Yeah.
Off my feet and long walks on the beach.
Yes. And I see that you do a lot of that. I know you're always like having adventures and stuff. And yeah. I just, anyway, not to get too far off topic. But
For me, that is living out parts of my fantasies for sure. So you mentioned earlier, Rena, that using porn could be a great way to explore fantasies. Are there, like, what would you recommend for once somebody's had that conversation and maybe one of the ways that you suggested earlier, maybe they want to try porn to see which aspects appeal to them. Mm-hmm. How can people take it a step further? And should people always act out their fantasies?
Okay, so it depends, of course. There are some fantasies that, legally speaking, we cannot act out. There are some fantasies, you know, threesome, multiples, partner fantasies. Say you and your partner are both like, that turns me on, that's really hot, but we don't want to run the risk of actually bringing someone or some other people into our bedroom, because there are risks that come along with that. So what do? You can dip your toes in, you can pretend to be another player.
Yeah.
Right. You can watch porn together. So start seeing what's the underlying emotional need here. Is it novelty? Mm-hmm. Is it wanting to be the center of attention? And how can we try to meet that without or short of bringing other people in? Because you definitely have to dip your toe into group sex. And that could be a whole other podcast episode, but yeah, the do's and the don'ts and things that can go wrong and things that can go absolutely right too. Mm-hmm. But yes, should you enact all fantasies? Some of them you can't, because you might have a fantasy that you're a different gender and you can't act that.
Yeah.
But you could pretend in other ways to do that. Mm-hmm. But really understanding that your partner's fantasy is probably their fantasy because it's taboo, mm-hmm. because it's transgressive. And that can make you more compassionate and alleviate some of that fear and shame on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, that actually just brought another really great question to my mind. Like, what if your partner shares a fantasy with you and it totally freaks you out? Like, how can someone handle that situation?
Well, understand that, I mean, really the best way to not freak out is to understand more about fantasies and what they are. And if you really want to dive deep in this, the best book I can recommend is Tell Me What You Want by Justin J. Lay Miller. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much gonna prepare you to normalize anything that comes out of your partner's mouth. So knowing that this is not, so say your partner comes to you and has gender bending fantasies. I'm just going to come up with one. Mm-hmm. And your mind might go to, oh my God, is my partner coming out as trans? Is my partner, perhaps a different sexual orientation than I thought he was? And I'm going to say he, because it's more males who have gender bending fantasies because it's more taboo for them. That it's important to get curious about it instead of judgmental.
Yeah.
So curiosity is the antidote to judgment. So get curious. What is it about that excites you? What would that look like to you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't ask, where do you think this is coming from? Because oftentimes we don't have a why.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a why.
Yeah, we can't rationalize it.
Yeah. So who, what, where, when, why? But you can also ask, like, is this kind of a non-negotiable for you? If I don't go along with this, is this going to be inhibiting your full sexual expression?
Yeah, that is another great question.
I mean, I've had clients where their partner has said, I've never told you this, but I have a super hardcore BDSM fantasy where I am submissive. And the woman will, you know, try it out, and maybe it's her thing and maybe it's not.
Yeah.
And if it's totally not her thing, the question then becomes, okay, if we don't do this, is this going to be a deal breaker for you? And if that's the case, maybe it is that he goes out and hires a professional dominatrix, right? Yeah. Maybe that's how you explore that.
And there are potential solutions depending on what both people feel like. But something that is important, I suppose, that if your partner comes and tells you a particular fantasy, is not to make it mean something about you as well, right?
Exactly. Yes. That fantasies don't indicate there's something wrong with the relationship itself. And sometimes they can be, this is another thing I want from you. If we're having age play fantasies, it can be, I miss that tenderness with us. Not like everything sucks and it's terrible and let's throw the baby out in the bathwater, but I think I'm craving more tenderness. I think I'm craving more time and attention with you.
That is always me. I always want all the time and all the attention. That is, yeah. I'm very greedy with attention with my husband.
Are you?
Oh, yes.
That yes. Is and maybe you have, you know, a praise kink or something, like you want to be told like you're a good girl or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
It's like, no. maybe you're not telling me things enough in day-to-day life of how much you appreciate me.
Yeah, you know, I could never be told enough.
Same woman, same. I love being good.
Me too. I love being told I'm good. It's just the best. I need to admit it, because it's not like I don't have, and this is what I hope other people learn from this. It's not like I don't think highly of myself. It's not like a self-esteem issue at all. It's just an extra layer on top of that. Just, you know, why not?
Cherry on top.
Cherry on the top. Exactly. Rena, this has been so illuminating. Thank you so much for answering our questions. And yeah, I just hope everybody knows they can come and find you on Instagram, because you are an absolute wealth of knowledge. But where can people find you? Where's the best place to find you, and how can they work with you?
Yep. So Instagram works. Shoot me a DM on there, or you can also head over to my website, which is renamartine.com. Mm-hmm. Learn more about what it looks like for us to work together one-on-one. And through there, you can schedule a time to hop on a consultation and we'll chat.
Fantastic. And I really recommend that people do. You are just an absolute gem. So thank you for sharing with this with us today. I cannot wait to publish and hear what everybody thinks. And looking forward to chatting with you again soon. I think group sex is on the agenda for sure. A conversation.
Oh, yes.
A conversation, I mean.
Yes. I know that might be a little tricky with the time zone difference, but a conversation about group sex. Yes.
That sounds good. Oh, thank you so much again, Rena. Chat to you soon.
This is my pleasure. Bye.
Bye. Liquid Gold Lube is an edible, rooibos-infused, sexual water-based lubricant. 100% natural plant-based ingredients are used in this product to ensure only the best for your sacred bits. Liquid Gold Lube is condom and sex toy compatible. Plus, it's cruelty and chemical free, eco-friendly, and best of all, it leaves no stains. You can find Liquid Gold Lube at liquidgoldlube.com. Plus, you can enjoy 15% off with the coupon code LISALOVES. That's Lisa Loves, all one word, LISALOVES. Enjoy. That is all for today. I really hope that you enjoyed this interview. If you would like some more free educational content to help you to have more fun in the bedroom, then head over to my website, inbedwithlisa.com/free-resources, and you can grab my free 56-page ebook called The A to Z of Fun Sex. It is full of 26 ideas that are going to make you want to cancel tonight's plans. So be warned. Thank you so much for sticking around, and I'll see you next time.